Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Friday, November 27th, day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
And the college basketball season is officially underway.
We've got 2 days of games in on our third day of games right now. The first games were played on Wednesday,
November 25th. Yeah, we're recording this around 2 o'clock on Friday, so there's still some games we play. We might miss a few at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a little shorthanded here today, just myself and Wesley. But with the college basketball season officially underway, now is a great time to shout out that if you don't follow us on our social media platforms, you need to. We're coming out with content. We were dormant. We were dormant for about 6 months when the college basketball season wasn't going on. We are back and better than ever, posting a lot of stuff, especially on Twitter. We're fairly new to the Twitter scene. Make sure to give us a follow at Made in March Podcast, underscores between every word.
Classic. And on Instagram as well, we're posting about once a day on there, but obviously more active on Twitter because it's much easier to get it out in small quantities, I guess. But without further ado,
real quick, how was your Thanksgiving?
That's a great question. So Thanksgiving is a top tier holiday in my opinion because
100%, it is just 100%.
The food is incredible. There is just unlimited amounts, and you eat until you feel like you're gonna throw up. The classic American way.
I was prime time Eddie Lacy yesterday. I was feeling like a big boy.
Yeah, it was like China food all over again, but with Thanksgiving food. Everything you can eat. And when you're with your like grandparents or something, obviously maybe not this year, but normally they're just like, "Yep, keep eating, keep eating." And after that, if you don't feel like you're gonna throw up after Thanksgiving, are you doing it right?
You're not
doing it
and
right.
I finished it off perfect ending to Thanksgiving, watching the Villanova game.
Yes, that was a great game to watch. Yep, it was, and some obviously we got to shout out some football, NFL football on Thanksgiving.
A lot of great football.
A lot of great football. Obviously, the games kind of sucked, but no,
fantasy not football much you can is do. Still a thing.
Fantasy football exists, correct?
Anyway, should we get right into the recap of the
games?
Wednesday was the first day of games.
First day
of
games. There were some solid games, but honestly, the majority of the games were blowouts, I would say.
Yeah, but there were some solid games, and especially as we get into Thanksgiving, there were some.
Yeah, exactly. Games, I would agree. So first game of the day happened to be Abilene Christian versus ETSU. One of the games that I highlighted as like a potential game to watch to kind of see how this would play out, because last year ETSU trending into the bracket, into the Big Dance, was going to be maybe an 11-12 seed.
Yeah, I mean, they were a four-loss team last year in the SoCon. They were solid. But
they were a solid team.
I mean, I think ETSU lost a lot of guys.
ETSU lost a lot of guys, and Abilene Christian ended up winning the game by 23. I don't know. It kind of just shows where the SoCon's at, maybe, kind of thing.
Whoa, I am sensing SoCon slander. I don't know if I'm okay with that. Anyways, continue.
Just a Big Ten game, Nebraska. Nebraska ball, the meme team, I guess, of last year, cracked 100 points against McNeese. Just had to address it. They're a garbage team, and Kobe King, this needs to be addressed too. Kobe King has left the Nebraska basketball team.
Yeah, where'd he go again?
I have no idea where he's going.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's out of there. He left Wisconsin, went to Nebraska, played for a little bit, and he's out just like that.
Yeah.
But a game to address here, Virginia. First day, at least. This is just Virginia on Wednesday.
Yeah, Virginia on Wednesday. That needs to be stated.
Not Virginia of Friday, but Virginia of Wednesday won 89-54 against Towson. And I'm going to say it, on that day, they looked pretty good.
Sam Hauser. Transfer from Marquette, had to sit out last year in the transfer portal. He looked better than ever at Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
And local shout out, freshman Reese Beekman, he did hit a three.
Yep.
He did hit a three.
Although it was not needed, obviously, because
That was a Virginia front run game.
Yep,
they were just up and ahead, and Virginia knows how to front run with the best of them. We'll get to it later.
Mm-hmm.
They struggle in other parts of the game, but they know how to front run.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see them drop 89 points because personally, at least all of last year,
I wasn't. They played Towson, like
I know, but just still the fact that it's just a Virginia team dropping 80 plus.
Okay,
I don't think I saw it all last year, even in their out of conference crap games, and then moving into Illinois, who I think is a clear top five team in the nation. They drop 122 on North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, I really wish Alex was here because you know what he said in the group chat over the week.
Yeah, he said Illinois.
He said Illinois will win the whole thing this year.
He said they're the best
Illinois
team in college
team in college basketball, which I think is a slight hot take when you've got teams like Gonzaga out there.
Yep.
And I think Villanova, who is underrated as well. But you can't lie. Illinois looked good.
Illinois looked incredible.
Let's talk about Adam Miller.
Adam Miller, freshman for Illinois, dropped 28 points. which is...
See, I didn't get a chance to watch much of that game. What is Adam Miller really good at?
I think he's a big three-point shooter. Yeah, okay, he was six for eight from three.
Okay, that's it's pretty safe impressive. To say he's a sniper.
He's a sniper.
And when you add him to Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn on Illinois, that is...
Yeah.
That can be scary if you add a sniper alongside those two.
I think so, yeah. Ayo and Kofi both had double-doubles with rebounds and points, and they just... They were a well-oiled machine. They doubled up North Carolina A&T, but I don't really think that means much other than that Illinois looked very good offensively, which is what we expected, and it was a good showing for them, I guess. And adding another piece to Kofi and Ayo is a huge, huge, huge plus for that Illinois team. Ohio State gets a win. 94-67, they lost the Wesson brothers over.
They did, and I actually watched a little bit of that game. Whoever the fuck Ohio State was playing was one of the worst teams in college basketball I've seen in my life.
Illinois
State is the name of that team. Okay, they started off 23-0 in that game, and I was like, I have seen enough. I do not need to watch any more of this game.
Yep. Another Big Ten game, Maryland taking on Old Dominion. I highlight it as a possible upset, which did look promising through about the first 15 minutes of the first half.
And then Maryland pulled away.
What
do we think of Maryland this year? They lost a lot of guys.
They lost Cowan and Stick Smith.
Yeah.
Who were their big players? I don't know.
They're going to really have to show me some, because as of right now, they're not on my radar.
And the Big Ten is too competitive, I think, for them to lose those two big pieces, for them to have to come in with freshmen and try and make up that ground. Way too competitive, and I think it's going to be tough sledding for them. Although, they could have a mediocre record and still get a good seed because of how competitive the Big Ten is, as long as they get some big wins, I guess. Memphis looked extremely athletic, defeating St. Mary's 73-56.
See, they did look extremely athletic. Boogie Ellis, by the way, he played there last year, coming into his second year. Yes. He looked really good. I think he had a buzzer beater at halftime or something.
Like a half quarter or something like that.
And I'm not saying Memphis didn't look athletic, because they obviously did. But when you put Memphis next to St. Mary's on the court, anybody's going to look athletic. St. Mary's is just an unathletic team.
They're unathletic.
They've got like Tommy Cousy or whatever his name is.
Yep.
It's like he's a nice player, but they're just not athletic.
I don't think there are much competition to Gonzaga in the WCC
at all. I agree.
And one of our own called this upset, Drake defeating Kansas State.
What do you know? You can check our Instagram. We came out with our upset picks for Wednesday. Each of us picked one game that we thought, you know what? We could see an upset happening here.
Potential.
I called Drake upsetting Kansas State. They were, I think, 6-point underdogs. So it's...
Yeah,
they were
5.5. Five and a half was the line.
Yeah, they were decent underdogs. Mm-hmm. They came out with the upset. I mean, my reasoning behind that was pretty straightforward. Last year, Drake, they were very competitive.
They were.
In the Missouri Valley.
I would agree.
Kansas State, I mean, I didn't look at their recruiting class, but I can't imagine they added anyone good, and their team last year was pretty pitiful.
It was pretty pitiful, so that was a great pick. Drake gets the win. I think Drake's got a chance in the MVC, I'd say.
I don't know. Actually is going to be sneaky competitive this year. Watch out for the MVC, but yeah.
Yep, and then moving on, we got Houston taking on Lamar. Houston gets a big dub. Houston looked good, I would say,
That's
my team. Marcus Sasser dropping 25. I think Houston has one of the best guard combos. I think I said that in the first podcast, but Houston has one of the best guard combos in the nation. They got guys everywhere, although I would say that Quentin Grimes is slightly overrated, in my opinion.
Okay.
Slightly overrated. Kansas transfer from last year was his first year at Houston, I believe. And he looked okay, but obviously...
But Houston's definitely a team to keep an eye on.
They're a team to keep an eye on because their conference is competitive, but not that much. They lost... Yeah. UConn dropped out of that conference too, which will help... Only help Houston, I guess. And then Iowa defeats North Central, NC Central, I guess.
Once again, they're playing against,
School of the Blind or something.
School of the Blind, there you go.
It's like the Patriots of 2019.
Tasteful stuff. Yeah, they're scared. It's the same thing with Illinois, same thing with Wisconsin, playing nobody teams.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, Iowa looked good. Luka Garza still looked dominant. And Luka Garza doesn't stop. I mean, I tuned into a little bit of that game, and I just see Luka Garza running. He's just got, an unlimited motor.
Even though they're up by, 20 points, he does not care.
Yeah, he's a grinder.
I'm convinced there's not somebody that can completely shut down Luka Garza in the NCAA. I don't think there's a player.
I would actually agree with that.
You could argue that last year, no one could either, but I think it's more clear this year that it's just because he's got the experience, he's a senior, and the fact that he came back was... That just kind of showed what he's all about. He wants to finish it out. Michigan gets the win 96-82 against Bowling Green. Although this game was a lot tighter earlier, Michigan kind of squeaked away at the end. Okay. Michigan's a top 25 team, though.
What are they, 25?
25, yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
They're 25. Top 25. I don't know. Technically top 25.
I mean, they got Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers.
Yeah.
They lost Xavier Simpson, which is a big loss. We'll see how they can recover from that. Gonna need to see a few more games from them.
I really, really, really am not believing in them right now. And then I would say this is considered an upset going into the beginning of the season, but maybe is not anymore. Western Kentucky defeats Northern Iowa 93-87.
See, these are two, at least going into the season, we highlighted them as two mid-major teams to keep your eye on.
Yes. But for sure. We probably
after watching this game,
yes.
Western Kentucky is they're you got to keep an eye on them more than
keep
Northern
an eye
Iowa.
On them.
100%. Northern Iowa's got AJ Green. He's a sniper.
He dropped 20.
Western Kentucky, and we're gonna get into some more games they played. But Charles Bassey is a monster in the paint.
He is huge, huge.
He is huge.
Double double machine.
And Western Kentucky, they're a team full of dogs out there.
They are
just,
dogs.
If there's a loose ball, you got five guys that are diving on the floor to get it. Floor burns are friends for them. They'll go after the ball.
And the thing is, like, they're not losing anything. When their bench comes on, it's kind of this. It's just the same thing. They look like the same
team of fighters,
no matter who's in, which is really good for March, I guess, because depth means something. And I guess it's the guys that grit it out normally. Like at the end of the
games. We're the podcast of mid majors.
Yep, exactly.
So when watch it comes to throwing out teams. Your bracket, you might want to keep your eye out for Western Kentucky.
That's a great point to make. Kentucky wins 81-45 against Morehead State. Nothing really notable there other than just a...
The freshman B.J. Boston out there playing, but yeah, nothing much to note.
Yep. Michigan State beats Eastern Michigan 83-67. Another Big Ten team that's ranked... I didn't do the final count preseason rankings. How many Big Ten teams were ranked? I'm guessing seven?
I think it was six or seven.
Six or seven, something like that, yeah. North Carolina defeats Charleston 79-60. That's Caleb Love's first game. That was a player I highlighted.
Yeah, you highlighted him. Do you know how he did in that game?
He played okay, I guess. I think he had 17 points is what it was. 1 of 4 from three. He did not shoot well from the field, but he got to the free throw line some. Still. 4 of 11 from the field.
All right.
But just a guy to keep an eye on because that's kind of like the what's his name from last year? Oh my God.
Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony's replacement. How could I forget Cole Anthony? Although that North Carolina was terrible. I think this is the first time in a long time, at least, in North Carolina preseason ranked outside the top 15.
Yeah, but they're going to be better than they were last year.
I 100% agree.
I think North Carolina's a team to keep your eye on as well.
They are a team to keep an eye on. I would probably agree with that. Texas Tech beats Northwestern State 101-58. Texas Tech kind of reloaded on their freshman class, lost Jamias Ramsey.
Well, not just their freshman class. Texas Tech got Mac McClung in
they
the
They did get Mac McClung. Portal. That's something great to point
Mac
out.
Mac McClung from Georgetown, due to COVID, he didn't have to sit out a year. He transferred right away. Yep. And Mac McClung looked good out there.
He did look good. I think that's going to be the key ad for Chris Beard's Texas
like he
Tech
was,
Raiders.
He was efficient from the field, and he looked like he was playing angry, like he had something to prove out there.
I think he does have something to prove.
I think he's a perfect fit in the Chris Beard system.
I think he is too, yeah. Because, like, his ego was a little bit too big before.
A little
I would
bit.
Say.
His high school mixtapes were pretty fire.
It's pretty fire, but his ego was a little too big. And I think Chris Beard's kind of given him an ego check. And I think he's a perfect fit for Texas.
Because Texas Tech lost David E. Moretti.
Yep.
They lost him. I think he went to go play in Europe. And so they do need Mac McClung if
they
want
to
be
do need him. And Jamias Ramsey went to the draft, obviously. Yeah. So.
So they suffered some losses, but
they did
Mac McClung and other guys are going to need to step up.
Yep. West Virginia defeats South Dakota State only by 8 points, though. This game was very close the entire time. Entire time. And West Virginia, obviously, they are a defensive team, so they're not like meant to get into shootouts.
I didn't get the chance to watch this game, but I believe South Dakota State beat Utah State the next day.
I think they did,
so
yes.
South Dakota State might be another sneaky mid-major.
They're normally like a 14-15 seed. I think 15 is
that
like
was
what
back in the Dominator days, Mike Dom.
Yep, that's
he
true.
Went
yep.
nuts.
Rutgers defeats Sacred Heart 86-63.
I mean, no surprise there, but there are a few things to note about this game. Maybe my favorite player in college basketball, Geo Baker.
I would say he is, yes.
Suffered a severe ankle sprain. And, I mean, hopefully he's not out too long. Hopefully by the time Big Ten conference play comes back, he's ready to go because Rutgers needs him. Although, as much as I love Geo Baker because he's just so clutch, I think Rutgers' real star is Ron Harper Jr.
Oh, 100%. He's their best player.
Yeah. What do you know what his stats were that game by chance? If not, it's no big deal. But I know he played pretty well. And they also have a solid freshman center. So Rutgers... They didn't lose really anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they had a decent freshman class.
They did.
I really like Rutgers this year.
Rutgers, Ron Harper had a double-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds. So he's the player that's going to kind of win them. He can win them games.
But they do need Geo Baker, who has suffered with injury problems in the past.
And that's why he has been – like last year, everybody was like, Geo Baker's hitting game-winning shots left and right. Why is he not in the whole game?
And he played 15 minutes a game.
And he played 15 minutes.
He actually played with like a – broken thumb
for most of the year. That's what it was, broken thumb, yeah.
People didn't know that till the end of the year, actually.
So he's a tough guy.
So we need Gio, Rutgers needs Gio to be healthy.
They need Gio to be healthy, I think.
So prayers up for Gio Baker.
To make some noise in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is just too competitive to be like down one of your key players and still be able to make some noise. Another game to point out, just because Luke highlighted them as his team of the day of day one basketball, was Arkansas, who scored 142 points. I don't care who you're playing in college basketball, Division One. If you're playing a Division One basketball team and you score 142 points in 40 minutes of play, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, hogs by 80.
Yeah. Seriously, hogs by 80, that's what happened. Texas projected... no one knows what was going to happen.
Top 20
there.
Shaka Smart, preseason.
Yeah, preseason top 20. Shaka Smart has hair officially.
Yeah. Fun fact, Texas is actually 1-0 in games when Shaka Smart has hair.
The more you know, I guess.
This is why you listen.
I guess that is why you listen. Alabama beats Jacksonville State 81-57. Not much else, I guess. There was only one like competitive game between interconference. Mississippi State Clemson was the only like interconference game. 53-42, but like other than that, most of the games were like blowouts. VCU, here is probably the game of the day, I would argue. VCU defeats Utah State by 16.
And here's the thing, if you look at the final score, you look at the box score, you say, wow, VCU demolished them. But with about 10 minutes left, Utah State was actually up in the game. VCU finished the game on a 29-6 run, and it turned out into a blowout.
Yep, that's true.
And
but
VCU was all freshmen, basically.
They could be good. That means that I doubt that their VCU, there will be guys going to the NBA after a year or two. So it seems like, from what I'm seeing, VCU could be a team to watch out later in the year, possibly, if they progress.
I just think they're a spooky team. I think they made a lot of threes. I think they're spooky. But also, I don't think Utah State's that good. Losing Sam Merrill is really hard on them. Sure, they've got guys, and they also lost Abel Porter. They lost Diogo Brito.
Yep.
They've got Nemeas Cato, who's an NBA prospect.
Yeah.
They've got Justin Bean. But other than that, Brock Miller, you want to wrap your arms around him?
Nope. They were disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're close 10 minutes left, you should never get blown to the bed if you're a solid team.
Yeah.
It should never be like that. Villanova defeats Boston College 76-67, a closer game than people would have expected. Villanova didn't play, I wouldn't say they played down their competition, they just didn't play as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're getting underrated because of that first game. People are having like negative opinions, like, wait, they beat Boston.
We got another
College.
Villanova game to come up that I talk about them more because they look
agreed
to me in that next one.
Wisconsin beats Eastern Illinois 77-67, which was earlier a 30-point lead, which evaporated to a 10-point win. Coming into this game, I just said personally that Wisconsin will not win this game by more than 15 points. Just because that's how Wisconsin plays. They don't blow anybody out, but they win close games because they play good defense and they make shots.
No mistake. This wasn't a close game. They're up by 30. Yeah, they put in their scrubs.
Exactly. That's fair.
Nothing to see here.
But fair to note, Charlie pointed this out before we started recording, that Wisconsin, all five of their starters can shoot the three ball.
When you have five guys on the court who can all shoot the three ball,
stretches the defense
pretty well.
It's pretty.
Oh,
it's,
that's a nice trait to have on your
team. It is.
That was
nice.
My one takeaway from that game. It's kind of hard to find takeaways from the games when you're playing school of the blind.
Yep.
But that was my one takeaway. When I see Nate Reavers, Micah Potter, Aleem Ford shooting threes, I'm like, who?
Yep. When Aleem Ford's your worst 3-point shooter in your starting lineup, I would argue that he's the worst 3-point shooter in the starting lineup. I would say.
And
that's pretty
right.
good.
He's still pretty good. Right.
That's a good sign for them. And then the final game of the night, which is worth mentioning, is San Diego State defeats UCLA by 15 points, 73-58. This was a big game. Luke and Alex both called this as their upset pick, although it was, I think, a 2.5.
UCLA was ranked.
UCLA was ranked, yes. San Diego State lost Malachi Flynn, one of the better players in the country, arguably.
Yeah, first-round pick in the NBA draft.
First-round pick.
And what I think this shows is that San Diego State, I kind of thought losing Malachi Flynn was going to be huge and that they weren't going to be all that good this year. I think they're just a good team.
They're a well-coached team.
I can't tell you who their coach is.
I couldn't either,
If you gave me multiple choice, I'd be able to figure it out. But they're just a good team. They know how to jive and play well.
Chemistry is really good. I think Matt Mitchell is probably the best player on that team, I would argue.
Yeah, Matt Mitchell's good.
He's a good player. He was probably the second best player, obviously, behind Malachi Flynn last year. But he played well, and they got a big, big win against a ranked UCLA team. I feel like UCLA, when they're unranked, they play better, and then once they get that like attention spotlight, They always just disappear.
I'm not off UCLA. Mick Cronin's a good coach.
Mick Cronin is a good
coach. And did you say that was the last game of that night?
That was, like, worth mentioning. Did I miss one?
Did you miss Arizona State versus Rhode Island?
Oh, I think I did. I believe I did. That was a great game
That was actually kind of a tight-ish game.
Yes, I would agree.
I mean, Remy Martin of Arizona State, he's your guy. He's my guy. He's Bill Walton's guy. He's everybody's guy.
How do you not like Remy Martin?
Also, did you see the beard he grew?
Yes. I was like, questioning this before the game. I was like, wait a minute. Did Remy Martin have a full beard last year? And I'm like, I do not believe
he
did.
He kind of looks like James Harden. Both those guys, guards, both went to Arizona State. Both can shoot, and they both have Santa Claus beards.
I see it.
But a player I wanted to mention for Arizona State was Marcus Bagley. Actually, the brother of Marvin Bagley, played for Duke. Very good freshman for Arizona State. His shooting wasn't as good as some people maybe would like, but just when I looked at the confidence he played with out there, and he was getting hacked in the paint, I thought that was very good. Yeah, in Rhode Island, they still have Fats Russell.
Somehow.
He's been there a long time.
This kinda is Pangos-esque. Seems like
Kevin Pangos-esque, yes. But Arizona State locked him up in the first half.
I think that Rhode Island, obviously a team to keep an eye out. They played that's a very tough first game for them to come in and play against one of the top players in the country in Remy Martin. And then also having a good freshman class come in for Arizona State. That's a tough first matchup for Rhode Island. But I think they're a team to keep an eye on. Obviously, Arizona State too.
Yeah, A-10 is going to be tough this year though. So Rhode Island's going to need to win some
games. Watch out. And that's all pretty much it for Wednesday. So we can move into Thursday's games. There were not too many, but the quality was good. There were some good quality games. Have to mention that Illinois wins by about 60 points, 59 points against Chicago State.
Yep, okay, honestly. To be fair, Chicago State, I think, is the worst D1 program in the nation.
Could be argued. Yes. And here's something to point out. Xavier beats Bradley by 1 point. After Xavier, I'm pretty sure it was they started something 25 straight points, like 20. They started like 25-2 against whoever they played, Oakland or something.
In the first game.
So everybody's like, "Oh my god, they look so good. Xavier's unbeatable, or whatever." And then they come the next day, and beat Bradley by one, scoring 51.
I didn't get a chance to watch too much of this game, so I'm not gonna talk about it too much. But I don't know. Xavier's kind of always an inconsistent team out there.
X's frauds, I think, was kind of the theme of last year.
We've flip-flopped from Xavier being frauds to Xavier being good. So I'm going to give Xavier a little time before I make my judgment on them.
We'll see how it goes. Western Kentucky defeats Memphis 75-69. I think this was a defining game for Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky got that nice first win.
Yes.
And then they play Memphis, who some people argue, you know, they're kind of close to the top 25. Mm-hmm. Boogie Ellis, mm-hmm. Penny Hardaway as coach, athletic team. And Western Kentucky beats them after beating UNI. Those are two very solid wins for Western Kentucky as a mid-major.
Kind of solidifies their spot as like a spooky team, I'd say. Because, you know, every team can get one win. Like, who beat Kentucky last year? Was it Evansville or something?
Evansville.
They got that one win, and then they were dog shit. I'm just going to say it. They were dog shit for the rest of the year. They were terrible. And then here we have Western Kentucky. Great win against UNI. Followed it up with a win at Memphis. They're officially locked in as a spooky team, I would say.
More than spooky, I think they're locked in as a very talented team.
They are very talented and scrappy.
That who could
make some noise?
Bold take be ranked soon.
They will probably receive votes.
They better.
They have a game going on right now against West Virginia.
All I'm saying, they better receive votes.
They better receive votes. And then moving into arguably the game of the day, Gonzaga taking on Kansas.
Yes.
Two top 10 teams.
Yeah, number one Gonzaga versus number six Kansas.
And I would say, personally, I think Gonzaga, with this win of 12 points, 102-90, kind of solidified their spot as the best team in the country, in my opinion.
I don't think there's an argument.
Really?
I think the Zags are stupid deep. I think they've got 8-9 guys they can throw out there.
I think they have four studs. Like, studs would be in, like, a top scorer on most teams.
One of them being five-star freshman Jalen Suggs.
Suggs?
He was catching bodies.
And then Drew Timmy, Corey Kispert, and Joel Ayayi.
He had 15 points, 10 boards, something like that. He had a good stellar.
Exactly. They have four studs. Coached by Mark View,
I don't think there's any debate. Gonzaga's best team in the nation right now.
I would totally agree. I think that those four guys, it's an incredible combination.
I don't know how
you match up against that. And, like, you throw those four guys on one different team each, like one per team.
They're
a star. And they're all on the same team. I think Gonzaga is clear-cut best team in the nation right now. Mm-hmm. And that only proved it. You know what's tough? Wasn't that their first game of the year? I believe so, right? To come in.
I think it was both their first
games. I think it was both their first games, right? That's
and Kansas is a young team, you know, a lot of freshmen. Yeah, but still,
Gonzaga impressed me. Especially scoring 102 against a top 10 opponent. Mm-hmm. It was quite impressive. And then we move into West Virginia, taking on VCU. VCU was kind of off that upset, you could say upset,
yeah,
against Utah State. And West Virginia handles them 78-66.
Yeah, West Virginia, like, they're pretty big. Derek Culver,
I feel like he's been there forever. I've heard that name for like the last 8 years. I don't know why.
And they've got Tshubi. Tshubi's big. Miles McBride.
They're just kind of a press team, and if their press doesn't work, they're probably going to lose.
It's a Bob Huggins team.
It's the Bob Huggins team. I hate Bob Huggins.
I like Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins likes ribs.
He loves his food.
He loves his food.
He must have had a great Thanksgiving is all I have to say.
Good old Huggy was probably just feasting, yeah.
Watching the game today, he looked quite unhealthy is all I'm going to say. It did not look good. And then moving into UNI versus St. Mary's. UNI starts the season 0-2.
That is surprising.
Very surprising.
After playing Western Kentucky and St. Mary's, like, those are two good mid-majors.
But you think they get one of them.
With UNI, with A.J. Green, you think they'll at least get one. And to be fair to UNI, this game was close.
2-point loss.
St. Mary's hit a buzzer beater. Game winner.
They hit a game, but still. Like, it's
good old Tommy Cousy. Although, may I add, he traveled on that. If you look up the buzzer beater, he 100% traveled.
A missed call.
He picked up his pivot.
Yes, I would agree. It's probably a missed call.
Hey, it's going to happen in college basketball. There's going to be missed calls. You and I, you got to overcome that.
Yep, they got to, whatever works, I guess. But you and I starting 0-2, it's definitely a big takeaway from this. And then obviously, probably the second best game of the night was Villanova taking on Arizona State.
Yes.
Villanova getting the win in this.
And Villanova, this is number 3 Villanova versus number 18 Arizona State.
Correct, yes. Two top 20s.
Two top 20 teams. Villanova, I really liked what I saw of them. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, JRE,
yes,
some people call him. Although I don't know if I can hop on that nickname because that means like Joe Rogan experience. That's just immediately what I think of. But anyways, I think he's a Player of the Year candidate.
I mean, he looks good.
He's deadly from mid-range and three.
Yes. I don't think he's a replacement on the three-point level of what Sadiq Bey brought to Villanova.
He could be, though, and I think he could be a Sadiq Bey replacement. JRE looked good. I think Gillespie, he always knows how. He just knows how to create space out there.
Yes, I think he's a better manager than he is like a scorer.
Yes, personally. I agree.
He's kind of like Cassius Winston. Obviously, Cassius Winston was a phenomenal.
I don't know how I feel about that comparison, but he does.
No, obviously Cassius Winston's better, but I think he's a better facilitator than a scorer.
He's taller than Cassius as well. But what I really took away is Villanova's defense is underrated.
That's fair, yeah.
The schemes they threw at Arizona State, they locked up Remy Martin. He had 5 points in the first half, I think like 7 the whole game.
I think it was 5 the whole game. I do not believe
five the whole game, really.
Yes, Remy Martin scored 5 points in the entire game.
Yeah, and they locked up Marcus Bagley.
Exactly.
They basically said, we're going to lock up your two guys who played good in your first game, arguably your two best guys.
And let your
beat us with everyone else.
Exactly.
And they were like throwing different things at him each possession. I like Villanova this year. I think Villanova could go places.
They played quite well. And I think that scheming for Remy Martin was a phenomenal idea because obviously he's the center point of the offense and he's also the point guard. So he's kind of like the facilitator as well as the best scorer. So clamping him up kind of just put a damper on their whole offense. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just a great tactic by Jay Wright. Proving why he's one of the best coaches in college basketball.
He wasn't wearing a suit, by the way. Weird to see Jay Wright not wearing a suit.
It is kind of weird, yeah.
But Remy Martin's going to have to learn to deal with that kind of stuff.
I agree.
Yes, he's not going to play Villanova every week, but he's going to play teams that are going to double team him, try to lock him up, and he's going to have to learn to play with that. Last year
he had attention, but not special attention.
Last year he was good. I think he made like some All Pac-12 team, but he wasn't treated like the star he is now.
The reason he's a star now is because of Bill Walton.
Well, that's debatable, but Bill Walton aided his case.
He definitely aided his case. And that's pretty much all that we have for Thursday. Now we can move into the Friday games that have completed today and also ones that are currently going on. I guess there haven't been any that officially completed, but just an update. 2 minutes left in
this
game.
There have been some that officially completed.
Just a few.
You want to peep the Virginia game real quick.
Okay, the Virginia game that does need to be mentioned.
Because this was a
barn burner, to say the least.
Surprising game.
San Francisco defeats Virginia 61-60.
Yeah, San Francisco
in the WCC.
In the
West Coast Conference where they normally get beat by 40 by Gonzaga. Correct.
Yes,
that same team.
They beat number 4 Virginia 61-60, right?
61-60. And Sam Hauser, he looks like he just fell off a cliff and forgot to deploy the parachute because he went from first game to second game.
What was his stats this game?
He had 10 points, 5 and 11, no 3-pointers made.
Man. I mean, that's not as bad as maybe I was thinking. How did Kihei Clark play?
Kihei Clark shot the ball 5 times. 9 points. Okay.
But anyways, this is what I was talking about with Virginia. when Virginia plays the Towsons of the world, or when Virginia has games where all their guys kind of can't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Virginia's going to look impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're going to hold the team they're playing to like 50 points, mm-hmm. and they're going to win by 30. They can front run with the best of them.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But when Virginia's shot is off, or they play a team that like just throws different things at them, like San Francisco, they were hustling out there.
They were.
San Francisco was playing hard. When they play teams like that and they have bad shooting nights,
yep.
it's hard for Virginia
to overcome.
With their offense overcome. You want to know why Virginia won in 20... In 2019 March Madness, it was because they had three NBA players on their team. And their offense could win despite Coach Bennett's schemes. When they don't have three NBA players on their team...
It's tough. It's tough sledding.
Their offense is not good. This is why I will never really buy into Tony Bennett's scheme unless they've got like a bunch of superstars.
That's fair. I think for me, this is a win because I personally have disliked Virginia for years. So this only warms my heart to see that Virginia is back. Because after that day one, I was like, oh no, Virginia's going to be good. I'll mention them as like a team of the day kind of thing.
Yeah.
It warms my heart to see Virginia back in their place, scoring 60 points against bad teams and losing. But another team that...
But that was an impressive game for San Francisco. Do we think we need to keep our eyes on them in the West Coast Conference?
I think you need to keep an eye on them for a couple weeks to see how they do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not ready. Like Western Kentucky, I'd say keep an eye on them for the season, see how they see how it plays out. I feel like they could get some big wins in the WCC, San Francisco.
But it'd be spooky.
Just something to keep your eye on for a couple weeks.
I don't envision them giving the Zags a scare.
I do not either. I do not either, especially with how good the Zags have looked.
Yeah.
But another game to mention that just finished up is Illinois beats Ohio by 2 points.
Not Ohio State, maybe.
Not Ohio.
Number 8 Illinois playing...
Green Ohio. Not Miami, Ohio.
I don't know what conference they're in. I think the MAC...
I believe that is right.
Is it hashtag Maction?
It might be some hashtag Maction, but they only beat them by 2 points, especially after scoring 122 and then scoring like 100.
How did like Io and Coburn and Adam Miller play?
Io played pretty well. I was watching this game earlier on in the first half, and he had like 18 and a half. He ended up scoring 27 points.
Okay, yeah, Io's a stud.
He's a stud. Kofi had a double-double, 13 and 14, so he played solid.
This is weird.
Adam Miller had 11 with no three-pointers made, so...
That might be it.
I don't know.
But still, beating Ohio by two in a low-scoring affair, after the way they played in their first two games, they look kind of unstoppable.
It
shows that no team in college basketball is unstoppable.
No team. The only thing I would look...
Maybe Zags.
Maybe Zags. I was going to say, the Zags right now look pretty unstoppable. And they also beat Auburn today by 23. So Auburn's an SEC team.
The Zags did?
Yes, the Zags completely...
Now, Auburn is not that good this
Auburn year. Is not that good, but they're still a Power 5 team, and they just beat them by 23. Yes,
with a postseason ban.
Correct.
They self-imposed a postseason ban. Shout out Bruce Pearl. That guy likes to...
Tactical moves,
that guy likes to cheat.
He loves to cheat, I guess. But a game that's going on right now that's going to finish up in about a minute and 30 seconds is Western Kentucky playing against West Virginia.
What's the score?
The score is West Virginia is up 6 right now.
West Virginia?
West Virginia is up 6 right now.
No, Western Kentucky was winning when we started this podcast.
When we started this, Western Kentucky was up by about 5 points, something like that.
But even if Western Kentucky loses, as long as they keep it close with...
Yep.
Number 15
in
number
the
15 in the nation, West Virginia. They're 2-1 out of that tournament with two wins. If assuming they obviously lose to West Virginia, I still like Western Kentucky.
Their pedigree. I think they had probably one of the tougher starts of any college basketball team. That's three competitive games against UNI, Memphis, and now West Virginia.
Yeah.
That probably is one of the more tougher starts, especially for a mid-major team. They're not a Power 5 team.
And the thing to note, like West Virginia, they're always that basketball team that just runs you off the court. They run, press,
yep.
hustle, fight, dive for the ball.
I was watching
this game, Western Kentucky, in my opinion, looked like they had more heart and more hustle than West Virginia.
Yep. I would argue the same thing.
So I love Western Kentucky. They might be my mid-major team this year. They might be this year's ETSU for me. Who I called, by the way, before the world knew about them last year.
Before the world knew. They're definitely a team to watch out for. Currently 10 minutes left in the game and Kansas is up 10 on St. Joseph's.
That's a little weird.
A little bit.
St. Joseph's?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Not the Johnnies, not the St. John's. The St. Joseph's.
The Johnnies actually did play St. Joseph's like on Thanksgiving or something, but huh. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay,
Kansas.
I'm not going to look too deep into it.
Yes.
Kansas is still a young team, but.
They're a young team.
Interesting.
And currently, Texas Tech is defeating Houston State. Sam Houston State, my ad, sorry. by 30 points with 12 minutes left in the game. I think Texas Tech will be a top 10 team, maybe a top 7 team in about a week or two. I don't know. That
I feel like that qualifies as a wall of bold prediction. TTU?
TTU top 7, maybe?
7 team.
In 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks. That's a bold prediction.
That is going up on the wall of bold predictions. If you're new to the channel, anytime someone says something that's a little out there, a little outlandish, a little bold, we write down on a post-it, slap it on the wall, boom, wall of bold predictions. By the end of the year, we have like 100 post-its with just bold predictions. And kind of a fun thing we do.
And we'll do like some podcasts here and there to kind of review.
We break them down, we were right, where we were wrong. And honestly, some of them are kind of on point. There's some that are way off.
Shout out
Alex last year. He had one of the boldest predictions that just was nowhere near true. But,
boldest of bold.
You know, they're fun.
And also, just some other notable games is currently going on, just some ranked teams. Houston taking on Boise State. We have UCLA.
Boise State. Okay. I actually kind of want to talk about Boise State.
I don't know much about
them.
Let's
talk about the Blue Court Broncos. Okay. Do you want to look at their roster real quick? Because I know they got the transfer from Arizona last year who got, like, cut from the team midseason for, I think, marijuana.
Who do you know the
name? His name starts with a D. If you told me the name, I would know what it is.
Is it Derek Alston Jr.?
It is not Derek Alston Jr. Let's keep naming names.
Oh, boy.
I'm Boise State.
Boise State. Let's see here. Is it Donovan Ivory? No.
It is not Donovan Ivory.
Devonair Dutrive.
Devonair Dutrive. Okay. He was on Arizona last year, and yes, he averaged like double-digit figures per game. Boise State got him amongst a few other transfers. I don't know. Just a name to keep an eye on. Let's watch the Blue Court Broncos this year. You never know what's going to happen with
you
them.
Never know. You'll see currently Houston up by 11. Okay. But Houston is, I would say, also a very good basketball team.
Yeah. Houston is no team to sneeze at.
No team at all.
Are there any other good games for us today? Any others to note or no?
Nothing else. Obviously, with like the COVID thing, there's been a lot of games postponed and canceled. So yes, that also, well, teams had to remove themselves from preseason pre-conference play tournaments. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams had to do that. I know Ohio State had to remove themselves. I know Dayton had to remove themselves from one.
It's just something we're gonna have to deal with this year.
Yeah, it's gonna
be. I think the teams actually recognize that as well.
I agree.
As
yes,
the fans. So.
And with COVID this year, I believe that there will be at some point that maybe college basketball is shut down for like a week or something like that.
Really, you think
that so? It could? It's possible. It's in the realm of possibility.
All I know is here's one thing that I can almost certainly take to the bank. We will have March Madness this year.
It's
in
almost,
some way, shape, or form. We will.
Do you know how most much, likely, do you know how much no money fans.
College basketball lost last year without March Madness?
Almost.
They lost $900 million.
Almost $1 billion, yes.
Almost $1 billion.
Yep.
The NCAA, we could be hitting record numbers of COVID cases. There will be March Madness, I can promise. It might be weird, it might be in a bubble, but there will be March Madness this year.
Yep, that's a good point. I think that it's almost impossible to go miss it 2 years in a row.
Yes.
Almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There would have to be like dinosaurs raining from the clouds or something like
yes,
that.
Something crazy
would have to happen before.
Because COVID's not going to stop them from holding March Madness.
Exactly.
I'm pretty confident that. I'd almost take it to the bank.
I would agree with that as well.
Any good games over the weekend that we want to note?
On Saturday, there is a large slate of games. Some of them being canceled, obviously, teams dipping out, I guess.
Yeah.
Not really like much in the competitive play. It's a lot of ranked teams playing a lot of
schools of the blind,
more or less boils down to that. Just a game to note, maybe LSU at St. Louis. St. Louis was a possible like mid-major sleeper
team.
Yeah,
they're actually solid in the A-10 this year. I know Alex is a big St. Louis guy this year.
Yeah, I am also, I guess, high, you could say, on St. Louis.
As high as one can be on SLU.
On SLU, exactly. Maybe notable, I guess, Notre Dame Michigan State on Saturday.
Okay.
Notable game. We'll see. I don't really know much about Notre Dame this year.
Yeah, I can't say I do either, but
we'll kind of see what happens. That's honestly through the Saturday slate of games. That's pretty much it for like competitive games that could be interesting to watch. Baylor, I think, gets their first game on Sunday. Right now, it's officially on. Obviously,
who do they play?
They are playing Washington. So that's going to be a game to watch to see how Baylor plays.
Yeah. Just to see how they look. Even though Washington, I don't envision them being too competitive this year.
It's just
still a Power 5 team. Still good to see how Baylor plays.
Yes, I totally agree. Also Sunday, a very notable game. Spidey's taking on Kentucky.
See, Richmond was one of my, like...
The Spideys! They're going to make this competitive. I'm going to say that with confidence. It'll be a competitive.
It's at Kentucky, right?
I believe
it. I mean, home field advantage this year obviously means a lot less without fans. Still means a little, though, I would say.
For traveling purposes and everything.
Yeah, I agree. The Richmond Spideys are going to keep this one competitive. They are going to be a very good team in the A-10 this year.
They are definitely a mid-major. They're probably a top five mid-major team to watch out for, you could say. Mm-hmm. Not much else other than North Dakota State, who did play competitive, will take on Creighton, I guess. You could just watch that. North Dakota
I think
State.
You're thinking of South Dakota State. Who?
Oh, it's South Dakota State.
Not the Bison. We're thinking not of the Jackrabbits.
So. We are. But this is probably the game of the day.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
Okay, let's hear it.
Arguably two of my favorite teams.
Oh.
Texas Tech and Houston. Oh, this is just an absolute internal conflict.
That is a good game. Is that two ranked teams?
That is two ranked teams. That is probably the biggest internal conflict I have had with a college basketball game ever, I would argue.
Lastly, I know who you're rooting for, buddy.
I'm probably going to roll Cougs. It's probably going to be roll Cougs, but if I want to stand with my bold prediction, this would definitely help.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if Texas Tech does win this game, like, let's say they beat the Cougs by, like,
then
10.
Then they probably get in the top 10, for sure.
They'll get in the top 10, but we need top 7. We need 2 weeks. They got time.
They got a little bit of time. I think
McClung's going to need to play good.
I think this is going to be a phenomenal game, though. Yeah. This is definitely, definitely, definitely a game to watch, and that's probably the only competitive game that's going to be, like, between big teams, I guess. You could argue maybe Baylor, Washington, but
yeah.
We don't know what Washington has to offer because
they
have not played yet. But I guess that's it for Sunday, really.
All right.
Monday, not much else either other than...
There's not much on Monday. That's probably the last one we'll recap because we're going to really try to start coming to you guys with more podcasts.
Yep.
I realize our last one was like 10 days ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from the time we made that one before the start of the season...
There was not much else to talk about.
There wasn't much.
Not for real.
There wasn't much.
Exactly.
But anyways, that was a fun first few days of college basketball.
It was good.
I mean, you know what's good when I'm, like, flipping the channels on Thanksgiving football to switch a little college basketball. It's like, okay.
That hasn't happened much in my household in the past 10 years.
But it was a lot of fun. I called some good upsets. Shout out Drake. Shout out Western Kentucky. If you want to see our upset picks, once again, make sure to follow us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter, Made in March Podcast _ Between Every Word. And until next time, it's Made in March.